This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Secure Give, the leading provider of safe and simple giving software for churches and charities that can be implemented through kiosks, online, mobile app, and text-to-give options. It's designed to grow your giving, save you time, and reach more people. Learn more at securegive.com. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship right here on the dial Monday through Friday. If you're listening in on the radio, I want to welcome you on the podcast, want to welcome you, and on stewardship.com, want to welcome you as well. This is a call-in show where we talk about your life and your money, and we are broadcasting from Nashville, Tennessee at Ramsey Solutions. The call-in number is 866-357-3283. Again, it's 866-357-3283, or you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Our team, Bob, our producer, and Amanda, our associate producer, they are standing by waiting to take your calls and your emails. So make sure that you reach out, 866-357-3283, and we will take those calls. I want to start off today, while you're calling in, the thought for the day. Luke 12:15 says, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." So when we read that, I mean, you think through that. It says, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. But we talk a lot about savings on this show. So where's the balance? Of course, we don't want to hoard a bunch of stuff, but are we hoarding money? And so what I want to warn us about, this says watch out. And so there's obviously a big, huge warning here, right? You know, greed can look a lot of different ways. It says all kinds of greed. It can look like, you know, excessive shopping on clothing, or it could be excessive recreation, or this greed could be, I want to make sure I have as many, you know, restaurants. I want to own a bunch of restaurants. It could look a lot of different ways. But one of those ways could be something that's hidden under the umbrella of discipline and responsibility, and it could be saving. You can actually save with the wrong motives, because we all have like different motivations, and really, in a sense, sometimes we have different idols. One of them could be belonging, keeping up with the Joneses. I've got to have a certain kind of car, a certain kind of house. That's the most obvious kind of greed. But another greed is under the umbrella of security and your amount of money that you can stockpile in your account actually serves as your God and your security. And you just got to be careful. That's another kind of greed where you don't spend a dime. You're just absolutely as frugal as can be because you've got to stockpile that account so that you've got this security. And I just want to make it very clear what this show's about and what it's not about. This show's not about just getting in this amazing financial position where we have no relationships, we have our life's completely out of balance. We're really doing great on the financial end, but we're not doing well as far as a well-rounded life. We want to make sure that we're saving so that we can bring glory to God's name. We're living out His scriptures. The scriptures do say, Proverbs 21:20 says, in the house of the wise is choice food and oil, that we should have some savings. But that savings should not be our security. It should put us in a better position so that we can see real pain around us and we can bring glory to God's name through this margin, through this peace, through this lack of distraction in our life, because we're in a good financial position. And so we can give more, we can see more, we can love more, we can comfort folks, we can go to their funerals, we can go by their house and pray over them. We can do those things because we're not so worried about working 17 jobs to pay for all our stuff. So again, Luke 12:15, it spoke to me in a powerful way, and I thought I would share. Again, the phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. And we got our first call on the line from St. Paul, Minnesota. This is Danielle. Danielle, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Well, I have a question. My husband and I are currently on baby step two of the Dave Ramsey, so we're paying off all our debt.
Mm-hmm.
I have a $10,000 loan on my car, and my husband wants to sell that so that we can get a beater car and lower our debt. But I estimated the Kelley Blue Book value of my car is about $4,500.
Okay.
And in Minnesota, our winters get really frigid. It's, you know, sometimes 30 or 40 below.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very hesitant about getting a beater car because we need a car that's reliable and that's going to start when it's really cold out and that's going to get us to where we need to go.
Mm-hmm. Danielle, what's your total household income?
I have probably about $55,000 a year.
Okay. And do you have another car?
Oh, we do have another car, but that's all paid off.
Okay. And so, but it's safe?
Yeah, it's a good car.
Okay. And how much is your other debts? Do you have any other debts besides this one?
Just student loans. We paid off all our credit cards. We were able to pay off about $13,000 in 6 months.
Good job. Way to go. And so how much are the student loans?
Oh, probably about $100,000.
Okay. Now, in this predicament that you're in, what are some other options you've considered?
Well, there's not much we can do. My husband has two jobs right now, one full-time, one part-time. I just got a retail job just so we could get some extra income.
Yeah.
And now I'm looking for a salary job. But we've kind of sold almost everything that we can sell that we don't need. We have some ski stuff that we're going to be selling in the ski market within the next week. But besides that, I'm not really sure what else we can do.
Okay. So really, it's just you are looking already in motion to get a better job that's paying a little bit better, and you're selling some of your assets like the ski equipment. So you're doing some other things as well. So you got a $5,500 hole here. Let's say if you were to, you know, sometimes you have to go backwards to move forwards. So it's going to feel like you're going backwards because you're selling this car. Let's just play it out. So if you were to sell the car and you don't have any savings, do you?
We have $1,000 of the emergency fund.
Okay. So you would have to really go get a $6,500 loan to trade that thing in. So, because what you do is you take the $5,500 loss and then you'd have to buy a $1,000 car. And you're saying it wouldn't last through the winter.
I don't really feel like it would.
You wouldn't feel safe that way. Well, here's the deal, Danielle.
Yeah.
You've paid off. You just proven that you can do this. You can pay $13,000 off in 6 months. So you can do this again without selling the car. You guys just get, you know, keep the gazelle intensity and go nuts on it. And you could be done in 3 or 4 months. And then you've got your car. And that's a car that you can drive around for a long time. So you don't really have to. It would speed it up, but it wouldn't speed it up a whole lot because now you're going to, instead of owing $10,000, you're going to owe $6,500 and you're going to have an unreliable car. How much are the payments?
They're $195 a month.
Yeah, so your payment's not even that bad. It's not that hard. And here's the deal, because you're asking me a question about him or you, who's right? They're both are different angles. They're not, one's not right and one's not wrong. But if I was in your scenario, I probably wouldn't sell the car. Your payment of $195 is it's not, you can make double payments, triple payments on that. It's not too high. So you're good to go. So yeah, that's what I'd do. I'd probably keep the car and I would just do what you've already proven you can do. Get gazelle intense and get this thing out of your life in 3 to 4 months. Just remember, as you're going through the journey, Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Don't get too impatient, but continue to work really, really hard.
We know that church leaders have big vision to impact lives, but usually don't have enough resources to make it happen. So if you can make it easier to create a culture of generosity in your church, wouldn't you do it? Secure Give is a leading provider of safe and simple giving software that can be implemented through kiosks, online, mobile app, and text-to-give options. It also has direct integration with the most popular church management systems, allowing automatic reconciliation. Nearly one-third of the top 100 churches in the U.S. use Secure Give. It's designed to grow your giving, save you time, and reach more people. Learn more at securegive.com.
Well, folks, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We're taking your calls at 866-357-3283. Our next call comes in from New Hampshire. This is Jack. Jack, how are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Outstanding. Yep, so here's the scenario that I got going on coming up in February. I'm in the Army National Guard, so I have to deploy again for a year. But because this time around I'm a little bit older, I'm going to save as much money as I can. I'm looking to walk away with probably $40,000 in cash on the conservative side. My question to you is, I'm going to be a first-time home buyer when I come back. Should I use that $40,000 in a house that's already like pretty good and reasonable, or should I buy a foreclosure and use that $40,000 and turn it into renovations in order to, you know, create equity and make the most I can out of that $40,000?
First of all, thank you so much for your service. That's awesome.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
That's very selfless of you. I think you might be asking the wrong question. I mean, just that's it's kind of too vague of a question. Are foreclosures and beat up homes better than a nicer home? It's more about location and that specific house. Do you have a certain property in mind that you're thinking through?
I do not, but I'm thinking my price range just because it is New Hampshire and it's a little bit pricey up here, between $150,000 to $200,000. But I just want to know what would be a better alternative to make that $40,000 worth more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Now, do you have any other savings besides this?
No, I do not.
Okay, so
but I also do not have like school loans or anything like that because of the Army National Guard thing.
Right. So you're out of debt.
Correct.
Good. Good. Well, what I would do is I would take out of that $40,000. I would make sure that you put away separately 3 to 6 months of your expenses and put them in a money market account and don't touch it. It's your called an emergency fund. So after you do that, you're really only going to have maybe 20. What's your income?
Okay. Well, once I come back, it's going to be a combined of roughly about 80.
80, but that's not necessarily your expenses. So let's say your expenses are 60 because you're going to live below your means because you're awesome. So you need $15,000. So you have 25 to put down towards a house. I wouldn't go buy a home until you have 20% to put down. So it looks like,
well, here's the catch. The through the Army, and because I'm a veteran, there's the VA loan, which means you don't have to put any cash down, and it's like a dirt low interest rate as well.
Okay. Just so you're aware about VA loans and what we teach here, we don't like you buying a house at all until you can put 20% down because you're going to have to pay PMI, which is mortgage insurance, and it's usually pretty hefty. It's a pretty sizable payment that is brutal. And VA loans in general, even though we love veterans, that particular program is filled with a ton of, how do I say this nicely, just some bureaucracy that causes that to be a very expensive loan situation. Anytime someone's going to offer you something like that where it's, oh, you know, no money down and it's first time home buyer or whatever like that, it's not one of the best loans out there. So just so you know, it's not as good as it sounds. Veterans are great, but the VA loan is not necessarily a great product. So so when you're thinking through that, make sure you weigh it up against a conventional loan. And then, of course, we want to teach, you know, 15. We want to make sure that we have a 15-year mortgage, not a 30-year mortgage, because we don't, the goal is to be not have a mortgage as soon as possible. And then you want to make sure that payment with insurance and with taxes is no more than 25% of your income. So when you're looking at $150,000 to $200,000 house, it doesn't seem too high. Just make sure your payment is no more than 25%. But going back to your original question, you sound to me like an energetic, healthy, probably semi-handy kind of person. I would go towards not necessarily, it doesn't have to be a foreclosure, but something in distress, something that's got a great location, 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 location. That's what matters most. And then, you can get it for 80 cents on the dollar. You can get a deal. And then you can put some TLC into it because you're in a season of life where you can do that. But that's where I would lean, but I would make sure all those other things are in place first if you really want to win financially.
Okay, perfect. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
You too. All right. I got an email here from Cynthia. She says, God helped me find your show, and I have enjoyed listening. My husband and I will pay off our $40,000 of debt this week. Congratulations. That's cool. As I have researched what to do now, I found baby step 3. My question is, how do we decide how much that should be? Well, very simply, Cynthia, it's 3 to 6 months of expenses. And that's not 3 to 6 months of income. That's 3 to 6 months of your expenses, which hopefully is less than your income because we need to be spending less than we make. And then you start looking towards retirement. So once you build up that 3 to 6 months, and that range, you know what that range represents? It's whether you're in a high-risk season of life or maybe a low-risk season of life, or you just happen to have a risky lifestyle or something like where you, you know, jump out of planes for a living, or, you know, just it's your level of risk in your life. So for me and my household, I feel very comfortable with 3 months. But for other people, they really want to have that 6 months. It also depends on your marketability. Could you find another job quickly in the event that you didn't have a job? So 3 to 6 months, and then you start looking towards retirement. But it's that's how you know the amount. Cynthia, thank you so much for your email. All right. For all you parents listening in, whether your kids are just learning to read or in a scared way, they're learning to drive and you're just, you know, scared to death, I want to take a minute, regardless of where you're at in your parenting journey, and I just want to encourage you. Psalm 127:3 tells us children are a blessing and a gift from the Lord. Your kids, no matter how they're acting today, they are a gift from God, and God chose you to be the parent of your child. The Bible also makes it clear that parents are the primary spiritual mentors of their kids, and that means teaching them everything, including a lot of the same principles that we actually talk about on this show. And I know Holly and I feel both the responsibility and the privilege as parents to help teach our kids how to steward their lives. But we also know firsthand that teaching kids about money, it isn't always easy. I've got 3 kids that all have a different perspective when it comes to money. I've got a giver, a saver, and a spender. They're dramatically different. And that's why we created the Smart Money, Smart Kids class for parents. Smart Money, Smart Kids gives you a practical step-by-step approach for guiding kids of all ages, all perspectives, to work hard and handle money with wisdom and with generosity. And right now, when you visit stewardship.com and use the promo code Chris Brown, you'll get it for only $49. Again, you get Smart Money, Smart Kids using the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces at stewardship.com.
This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Again, the phone number is 866-357-3283, and it looks like Vicki is calling in from Denver, Colorado. Vicki, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I serve you?
Well, I was just wondering, my husband and I would like to retire next year. My husband's 58, and I'm 57.
Okay.
And we will have our first mortgage on our primary home paid off in December. And we have 2 rentals, and we were wondering if we should sell our rentals or keep our rentals to produce income later in retirement or what.
All right. Well, it's a very good question. There's a lot of variables, so maybe we can work through that a little bit. First of all, do you have any debt?
No, we do not. Just our home. Actually, one of the condos that we own a condo and a townhome, and one of the condos, we have a HELOC, which is tied to our home.
Okay, but no consumer debt. Yeah.
No consumer debt, no.
How much are each one of the homes?
One of the condos is worth $130, and we owe $98.
Okay.
And the townhome is worth $150, and we owe $74.
Okay.
And we are at a break-even status with renting those out.
And your primary, how much is it worth and how much do you owe?
Our primary is worth $320,000, and we owe about $4,000 on the first. And that HELOC that's on there for the condo, we owe, like I said, $98,000.
All right. And are you investing? Do you have any kind of investments at all that are diversified that aren't in real estate?
My husband has worked for the Postal Service for about 38 years, and he has a thrift savings plan along with his retirement, and we only have about $50,000 in that. His retirement income, our retirement income combined will be about $78,000.
If you didn't own those rental homes right now, would you go buy them?
If we thought it was a good investment.
Do you think it's a good investment?
The one that we have, the condo, is there's a potential. Actually, we bought it. Daughter is renting from us, but the other one we've owned for about 11 years, and it has not went up in price at all. The real estate in Denver is rising quicker than the one that we own in Colorado Springs.
Okay.
So we probably wouldn't buy the one in Colorado Springs if we had it to do over, but the one in Denver has turned out to be a lot better investment.
And you live in Denver.
We live 65 miles west of Denver in a little town called Bailey, Colorado.
Okay, so neither one of them are considered really local for you. You couldn't go check on them tomorrow if you wanted to. You'd have to make a trip out of it.
The one in Lakewood, which is close to Denver, it's about 45 minutes, so it's not too far.
Okay.
The one in Colorado Springs is about an hour and a half, yes.
Okay. Any savings?
Yes, we have about $8,000 in savings. And then we have about $1,500 in our real estate account that we save for emergencies in case something goes wrong at one of the rental properties.
All right. So based on all that, what I would do is I would sell both the rental homes. And in order, if you only wanted to sell one of them, I'd do Colorado Springs first.
Okay.
I would sell them both. I'd pay off the primary. But first and foremost, you want to make sure you build up that emergency fund from $8,000. And you want to get that probably to about $20,000. Okay, 20, probably 20 to 30, 25. And you don't want to touch it. It's just there for emergencies.
Right.
Just keep it there. Then you want to make sure that you're continuing to invest 15% in long-term mutual funds. So you want to do that. And then you want to make sure you pay off that primary. So now you're going to be sitting in that investment income of, I think you said 78. And you're not going to have any bills.
Yeah.
And that's going to be odd. And you're not going to have any kind of weight or pressure on babysitting two properties that have no rental income. That's no fun. So now you can focus on each other and focus on life and focus on the future and have fun. I would just remove
exactly what we want to do.
Yeah, and I would just remove all this all that's just minutia in your life that's not necessary. So I like that plan. I like you getting rid of. I don't think you guys. I don't hear that you want. You have a dying desire to be a landlord. So
right.
I'd get rid of them and I'd pay off that primary and build up that emergency fund and you'll still have money left over. And I'd put it towards long-term mutual funds.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, if we just sold the one in Colorado Springs and we kept the other one since our daughter's living there, should we use the proceeds from that to pay towards the balance that we owe on that condo, or should we use that money then to invest in mutual funds or our emergency funds?
Yeah, just good question. If you're selling the Colorado Springs one only, it goes in this order. Build up the emergency fund, pay off the primary, and the third thing you do is pay off the second rental, but in that order. Because if something goes wrong with all your finances, you need a place to sleep first before that rental's paid off.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
Okay, that's great. Well, I really appreciate you helping us with this.
All right, thank you, Vicki. Folks, I got an email here from Patrick. He says, "Hey, Chris, I love your show. I was listening to a podcast, and you brought up a story from the Acts of the Apostles about Peter and John giving a gift from Jesus, not silver or gold. You mentioned that they looked the beggar in the eyes, and something struck me. My wife and I were blessed to go see Pope Francis in Philadelphia and had packed many snacks for the trip. We got off the train, and the Holy Spirit tugged at my heart. 'You don't need those snacks. Give them away.' As we walked the city, I saw a homeless man, and I asked him if he was hungry. He then looked me in the eyes, and I asked again, 'I have food if you're hungry.' He said, 'Yes, I am.' I gave him a granola bar. Such a small thing, but it meant so much to him, and even more to me. Thank you for your ministry. God bless." I thought you guys would like that. How cool is that? I was just reading this week, Luke 14:12-13. When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, he said, "Don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And of course, that's not telling you not to invite your relatives over. It just means don't just be kind to those who can bless you back. No, be kind to people who can't bless you back, like we just saw here from Patrick. Very, very cool. I love to see that. Thank you so much for emailing in with that encouragement. I love the fact that the show is helping you, spark some ideas when it comes to generosity. All right, folks. Well, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your calls. Thank you so much for your engagement on social media and for those emails as well. Don't forget to visit stewardship.com and use the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces, and you'll get started with the Smart Money, Smart Kids class. God, we thank you for speaking to us today. Now, each and every one of us, you spoke to us in a different way, and that's what makes you so amazing. That's what makes you the Almighty God, not a God, the God. And God, thank you so much for not only putting the planets in place, but caring about the amount of hairs on our head. And we know in scriptures that we can cast our cares upon you and that you hear our burdens. So God, thank you for that. And thank you for meeting with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.